We have very special guests tonight. We welcome in Dave and Phil from the Lion and the Cub podcast. This continues our adventure around the NFC North to get a perspective from the other side. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It is great to be here.
Yeah, thank you. It's, you know, the weather's probably very similar in both of our area, so glad to be enjoying a little cold and thankful, you know, break bread as we, you know, come up to this thankful day.
Yes, absolutely. Before we get into the tough, hard-hitting questions, please tell us about yourselves a little bit, about your podcast, plug yourself a little bit, and then tell us how thick the blue and silver runs in your veins.
Wow. Well, wow. I am Phil's father, and I have been a Lions fan since 1986, which to me doesn't sound that long ago, but to a lot of other people is a long time ago. I came to the Lions through Chris Spielman because I was raised in Ohio, Ohio State guy. Chris Spielman was a great linebacker, and I just decided wherever he was drafted, that's where I was going to go. Okay. So I followed him, and Phil, how did you?
And then about 6 years later, I was born. And
into the den.
Yep, into the den. You know, the name of the Lion and the Cub was kind of just this play on my 30 years and his at the time was a 54, 56 odd years of just fandom of a team and different perspectives. You know, he didn't like Alex Anzalone's long hair. I didn't mind it. You know, those are some things that we could get going about. It was in the middle of the pandemic. I realized that we would talk for hours. And we would just talk for hours about the games after each game. And I was like, well, if we're going to talk for an hour, let's give it a try. I'm really into like, tech and that sort of stuff. I had bought in a couple mics and, yeah, just took it over to my dad's house and we just started going. And that's kind of sort of where we are. And that's kind of how we've gotten here. We've been doing it. This is our fourth season, third season,
third season,
third okay. season. Yep. That's right.
It's
yep.
This Dan Campbell.
Yeah. So yes, it was the camp. I think it was a little accumulation of it's a new era. Let's see how it goes. It's very funny when we go back and listen and just see some of the titles of our shows. they were all called autopsies back then because we were just getting killed. And to go back to your question, which is, you know, how thick does the blue, the Honolulu blue and silver?
Honolulu blue, mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. Right, that's right.
Yep, we've got our own hex color. I would say it's a maybe because I haven't lived through as much. I definitely am the more emotional of the two. Not saying that he doesn't get excited, but if you go back and watch just this past Sunday's game, for example. I wear my emotions on my face. I mean, I was very frustrated and distraught. It was over it. I was ready to shut it off. And, you know, but that's, I guess, what makes our simulcast fun is it's authentic. A lot of yelling and stuff this year. A lot of promises of me taking my shirt off yet to be delivered without the exclusive side of it, but go ahead, Pops. You can. How's it for you?
For me, it's like I've seen everything 10 times over, and I'm still waiting for the other shoe to fall. So it's like, okay, they're 8-2, but it's like if Goff goes down,
could it all be over?
It's over. We do actually have a backup that could probably win a couple of games, but if Goff is done for the year, they're probably.
Is that Bridgewater?
Yeah, that's gloves Teddy, as Phil calls him.
Teddy Two Gloves is what I like to call him. So,
yeah, at least he's won in the league. So
it's true.
He has. He's a accomplished backup. I will say this, Dave. I did read a little bit of your bio piece, and you were a Cowboy fan. You got mad about the Landry thing.
Yeah,
you didn't like the ownership change.
Nope.
And yet, not shortly thereafter, they become the dynasty of the 90s. So an interesting point, because obviously you weren't born in America, but you had picked your team and then kind of said, I'm going to change flavors. And the flavor you changed to, it's been a tough one for a real long time. And one of the things Tay and I, you know, because unfortunately, and not to pick on you guys, but the Lions have been kind of an afterthought for a very long time. I always said, you know what, you know, Packer fans have been obviously the last 30 years very, very blessed, and we're a little spoiled.
I didn't know.
And now we suck again, but that's okay. I had a dad who went through the 70s and 80s here, which was not dissimilar to what has gone on in Detroit land. But
Mikowski.
Well, Anthony Dilwig's the world and much worse. But you know, Walter Stanley gets one on a Thanksgiving Day game. I remember as a child that was pretty fun. But, you know, how did you decide, you know, I'm going to bring my kid into this and I'm going to move to the Lions?
Well, see,
you know, from the Cowboys, you really must have burnt your backside a little bit.
Well, first, Philip wasn't born. So when there was a point about 5 years into his fandom that I said, you are free to move on to somebody else. Because
it was the 0-6. It was the 0-16 team.
Yeah, this is a monster fire, son, and they're never going to be good.
Yeah, go on, save yourself.
Hooked, but you can still get off the stuff, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah, at that time, it was worse than any ex-girlfriend I could ever think of was being a Detroit Lions fan. But I think there was nothing that could ever change the loyalty.
I loved Chris Spielman. Mm-hmm. I still do. And yeah. I was at the playoff game the Lions won against the Dallas Cowboys.
In 1991, yep.
Right. I was at both games because they played the Cowboys during the regular seasons, and I still hate Jimmy Johnson.
I wasn't alive still. Just throwing that out there. Again,
he wasn't alive yet. We were yelling all kinds of crap at Jimmy Johnson, and I went from loving the Cowboys, Tom Landry, Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach, I mean, to like, they had that thing on the game.
Yeah.
They inducted Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson into the ring. I can still never get him straight into the Ring of Honor in Dallas.
Yep.
And there they were kissing up on each other. It was on the pregame for the Lions. And those two who hate each other's.
Oh,
God.
They still do.
They're on there talking.
Gary never wanted to acknowledge Jimmy, even though Jimmy had a big part in their success.
They haven't won anything without – well, I guess they did win one Super Bowl after he left. But since really those guys left, those guys retired, they haven't even won a playoff game. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Hey, and I love to see it. I gotta
oh, yeah, me too.
One of my least favorite teams in the NFL. So,
oh, yeah.
But again, going back to my whole point, is simply, you know, Tay and I have joked since 2017 when we started doing this that, you know, the Lions, we give a lot of credit to Lions fans who stick with their team because, my God, that has to be a tough thing. You know, as far as you're concerned, Phil, you went through that 0-16 year. The Packers gave them a little help, you know, that final game. We were a little worried it was going to happen that season. But that said, you know, when you're a fan, you got to stick with what you stick with. And it's finally here for you. At least it seems that way.
Okay. Well, let me get my other shoe out and wait for it to fall. Okay. That's just all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll see what happens.
See, there's he's the half glass empty. I'm the half glass half full. I mean, there's like a couple core memories in my life that I could probably attest to Lions Packers games where the Packers have defeated the Lions.
I got to step away.
Yeah. We were on family vacation in Florida with the Immaculate Reception, the Phantom face mask.
I had a talk down from the roof that night. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That was another time where I questioned. That's when I questioned a lot of things. I think a key word for being a Lions fan is questioning your insanity. I think another really good guy that I think really embodies being a Detroit sports fan is this guy named Isaac. He's the World of Isaac on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Is he paying for this promotion?
No, it doesn't matter, but I just it's someone that I've followed through social. This is my story now, okay, old man? Someone that I've been able to relate my fandom to, even though through social media and stuff. I appreciate his passion, and I think the other really big thing for me now is as someone that's like very emotional, wears his emotion on his sleeve, anytime Dan Campbell cries, I'm ready to literally break through anything at any time.
Other game, Dan's crying. Yeah, I mean,
and that's fine. And that's what I love. The Lion, the old man, he hates the word culture, but that's what they're building in Detroit. Yeah. And it's very real. And I think the 100+ seasons of player experience is what's really making that locker room and this coaching staff as successful as they are, even though we can crack jokes about kneecap biting all day.
There was an article today up in Detroit about Dan Campbell meeting Tom Landry, and because he's from Texas, grew up in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's like in eighth grade, he met Dan Campbell, and when he was he drafted by the Giants? And Tom Landry played for the Giants and coached with them way back before the Cowboys. And Tom Landry wrote him a letter. He didn't say what was in the letter, but he said it's still framed. It's up on the wall at home or in his office or whatever. So he's got a connection to Tom Landry. So that's good enough for me.
There you go.
Well, we're very, very proud and impressed that you guys are, stick with your team, because, we love to see that. It would stink if there weren't any fans to be around for this time. Like, I'm sure you guys are energized. Maybe you got your other shoe there, Dave, ready to drop. But
We'll see.
That's great. And Ren and I, we're young kids, but we grew up in the 80s with the Packers being a losing team. And then when we got into our mid-teens is when, Favre came about. And so we've been blessed for, 30 years here.
I'm a huge Favre fan. Still am. I could sling it, but I liked watching him except when they played us.
Dave, I do have a question, and you answered it. Chris Spielman. So I'm going to bring this up here. But your logo has number 54 on it.
That's right.
And so that's him, right?
That's Chris Spielman.
And so then my question goes to Phil, who's number 4?
Here it comes.
So this, just to give a little background story here, we each picked our favorite lion. So 54, Chris Spielman. And number 4 is my favorite lion, which is the all-time leading point scorer, Jason Hanson, kicker. Jason Hanson spent.
We always have great kickers.
Hey, he was with the team for 20 years. I'm 31. What was the constant for me was Jason Hanson.
He was money.
I'm wearing a Roy Williams Jr. jersey right now. I have a Barry Sanders jersey, just like every Lions fan should. Right. As today is it's either today or tomorrow's the release of that new documentary.
Today, because Scott,
it
Mitchell
is the Barry doc. Yeah, I heard the Barry doc this morning. Actually,
Scott Mitchell, the quarterback, under the bus, and he posted all over Facebook. You can all kiss my. He's very upset.
But I did get the chance to meet Jason Hanson. Jason Hanson was downtown for the draft. Arch countdown kickoff. So we in the heart of downtown Detroit, there's an archway that has the countdown for the NFL draft next year. Mm-hmm. And the commissioner was here last year and stuff. And I work right downtown, and luckily just so happened to be in work. And I was like, that's Jason Hanson. Got a picture with him.
I'll be right back. I got to go talk to him.
Yeah. Beautiful. I was going to ask you guys who your two favorite Packers were. All time, and then currently on this roster.
Man, look at you with the questions.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Tail. How this works, Phil. I'll let you feel that first, Dan.
Yeah.
I guess current player. I'm trying to think. It's
don't have any.
No, I think you gotta love Aaron Jones. He's probably the best guy off the field with that team right now, and on the field when he's healthy, he's probably the best player. On the field. So that dude deserves a lot of credit and a lot of praise for just being the way he is. So mad props to Aaron Jones. I hope, not for you guys, but, hopefully he gets healthy and he can contribute like he was before, because he's outstanding. I don't know. I would probably say someone like Gilbert Brown, number 93, the Grave Digger, just because he was so fun. You could, watch him on every defensive play. And then, of course, the signature shovel grave move. You got to love it. So number 93, Gilbert Brown.
Nice. Okay.
For me, Tay took the words out of my mouth. I mean, at this point in time, the leader on the team is Aaron Jones. Unfortunately, Aaron has not had a healthy season, but he leads by example. He came from a military family. He's very, very loyal, always has been in the Green Bay Packers. He's there to do anything he can, when he can. I've been a huge Favre guy. I've been a huge Aaron Rodgers guy for different reasons, different personalities. Brett was really, really fun to watch do a lot of things and get excited about. Aaron did things, unfortunately, the Motown miracle, not to make you feel bad there when you were on vacation all those years ago, Phil. I screamed and woke my wife up that night. Aaron Rodgers did things that, I grew up, got in the NFL because of Dan Marino, and there's been no other better passer, in my opinion, since, and that would be Aaron Rodgers with what he could do with the football. Two of those unheralded guys, obviously what brought the Packers to prominence in the 90s. Obviously, the trade for Favre was huge by Ron Wolf, but getting Reggie could do things that were just unbelievable. I mean, the guy could use one arm to throw two guys. It was incredible. And then Charles Woodson, the only jersey I bought in the last 20 years was Charles Woodson jersey. So in the most recent time, that would be Charles Woodson for me.
Nice.
And it might be easy to say Favre or Rodgers for any Packers fan, but I think emotionally the jury's out with those two. So come back in like 5 years and then we'll ask the question.
Oh, I had a better question, actually, more.
You just asked a better one?
Yeah. You said Favre or Rodgers. I was going to say, who do you miss more, Devontae or Rodgers right now? Obviously, no miracle bridge Achilles. I'm saying a healthy Rodgers, obviously, and a healthy Devontae Adams.
Tay, I'll take this one first, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Aaron was my all-time favorite player at one point in time. Mm-hmm. But the will he, won't he, all sorts of attention stuff, I think it got old for a lot of Packer fans. It doesn't mean I don't like Aaron. There's a lot of baggage with Aaron. There's a lot of stuff. Nobody, you guys might be like, well, you don't ever usher that kind of guy out of town. But it just, it was kind of a breath of fresh air for Tay and I this year when Aaron was finally gone, because that's all we ever talked about. It didn't matter if it was, a potential girlfriend news, is this or that. It was just too much Aaron all the time. They gave him the deal. He said he's going to retire Packer. And then it gets too much Aaron. There's so many idiosyncrasies with the guy. Tough. Devontae, loved to have Tan talent, but you know what? He wanted out. He wanted to be close to his grandparents. Got to, you don't want to, put that thing on him. Hey, this is what you wish for, Devontae. And now here are out in Vegas and the Raiders are garbage. Yeah. But I don't miss either of them, because inevitably the team was going to come down. Really the loss in the NFC Championship game against the Buccaneers, that was the signal that this thing needed to come apart. And it has, and we'll see where it goes from here. So I honestly don't miss either of them, to be honest.
Yeah, if we could choose one of them to come back when they're healthy, it's got to be Rodgers. I mean, he can throw the ball around. He's the center of that offense. Devontae, if he was on the team right now, Yeah, he'd get some balls. Would that help you win? I mean, there are so many other problems on this Packers team right now that I don't think it's solved by one awesome wide receiver. But I think if we had Aaron right now in his prime, doing some good things, I think we'd be back into the thick of it, and we wouldn't be in the situation we are now.
But Tay, we'd be like, we gotta win the Super Bowl. We gotta go deep. And we'd true. Be all concerned about that. Now
expectations.
We're like, let's see what happens. Whatever.
Yeah, it felt really good.
Like it doesn't happen anymore. It just got old. Got old.
Okay. It felt really good to this year kind of be relieved of all that pressure. Finally. We don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback anymore, but just the in and outs, and you knew it was time. The divorce had to happen, and we were given this as fans. We didn't choose it, and we're just kind of embracing that as a fresh start, a fresh air, and I guess positive. But it's a little, I mean, Ren and I can pick apart these games and wonder, okay, where are the silver linings? But sometimes you just gotta sit back and be like, okay, it's fine, like whatever.
That's how greedy we are. We took another Hall of Fame quarterback, and Tay and I don't even care. We're like, you can leave town; it doesn't matter.
We got plenty more where that came from.
we'll do it three times in a row.
Yeah, we don't care.
Well, let's get back to this matchup on Thursday. So the Thursday is a Thanksgiving game. Just generally speaking, do you guys, I mean, you've had this Thanksgiving game in Detroit since 1934. Do you guys think this Thanksgiving game is more of like a blessing or a curse? How do you actually feel about it?
I think it's a blessing because we didn't have crap to look forward to. You know, usually Thanksgiving was always nice for like an ex-Lion player to come into Detroit and just play lights out crazy good. Or we would do something incredibly stupid, throw a penalty, throw a challenge when you can't throw a challenge.
Yep, Houston.
Or Joey Harrington came in with Miami and looked like Dan Marino and 50 points or whatever. So, you know, it was always fun to know they were going to play at least one big game every year.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts on it. It would suck if we didn't have a Thanksgiving game.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's why I like the holiday so much. And when somebody asks me what my favorite holiday is, it's Thanksgiving. It's because I love food, preferably stuffing. And then I got to watch my team, and usually like something happened within the family house, like during the game, you know, somebody would say something, you know,
grandpa might.
I don't know. Just everything about it just makes Thanksgiving wonderful. And we've gone on a Thanksgiving day before, and it's like just a cool, I don't know. It's just something that the city, it's just a fun thing. I don't know what it would be like if we didn't have Thanksgiving. Yeah. I think it'd be really weird.
They talked about it, taking it away, you know, maybe 10 years ago or so, there was talk of them losing the Thanksgiving game. I don't know if it helps them now that they play a lot of Thursday games in the NFL, which I don't really like. I'm the old guy. But
I agree. I'm with you, Dave.
But it is sort of like an extra bye. You play – but I, you know, with 17 games now, I really
the player safety is really, there's just been a lot of injuries the past 2 or 3 years, especially in the like soft tissue ligament. Man, now I sound like we don't ever talk like this on our podcast. No, so I think the allure of Thursday is gone. And again, it's all about money, and it's a business for the NFL, and they have part-time employees that make decisions impact the outcome.
Part-time officials.
We have Thanksgiving Day drama. I don't want you guys to get
it's going to be great. Thursday, we're going to be holding hands.
We're going to be together for bread.
We're not usually together for the games. We do everything remote. We're about an hour away from each other. So, back to it. it's a wonderful thing. And I kind of wish we didn't do like the Black Friday game. Like I wish that wasn't a thing. And I just liked having the, is it four games now on Thanksgiving or is it?
I don't know, eight? It's just three, I think.
It's just three. Yeah. When they added that.
And then they added a even later one.
When they added the late night game, it kind of took a little bit of it away too. I don't know. There's a few things where I'm like a stickler for tradition where I'll agree with the old man. And that's one of them where that, cause it felt like ours, because again, we weren't looking, winning wasn't wasn't an option. So we had to take our moral victories.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys though. I mean, through the Favre era and the Rodgers era, when we did play on Thanksgiving, it was never a gimme. And there were a lot of bad Wisconsin Thanksgiving day meals. I will tell you, even when Detroit was not a great football team, I know there were some testy feelings in Wisconsin here a number of times because it's like you said, Phil, it's a Detroit holiday and it's your Super Bowl for so many years. And that may be very different this year for you guys, which we'll talk about more, but the Lions kind of play on Thanksgiving and it doesn't matter what the record is.
Yeah,
that is very true. I expect a good close game.
Yeah, no matter what. At least it was Thanksgiving. It's like they're going to show up, and then about 4 minutes into the game, we could start dinner. So
yeah, let's eat.
Yeah, it would always be pretty rough. But hey, here we are.
It's nice to have all the fixings there and a day off though to just relax with family. For sure.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of all those extra games now. It just seems to take away from the importance and the specialness of that traditional Thanksgiving morning game. Now the Cowboys have the afternoon game forever. Who knows if that gets taken away. But, yeah, Thursday night football, now Black Friday football. It's like, okay, you just eliminated how unique that is.
Right,
So we definitely agree with you guys there. This is this 22nd meeting between the Packers and the Lions on Thanksgiving. I think it's been like Ren mentioned, it's been a kind of a toss up here and there, between the Packers and the Lions, even when the Packers are supposed to be good and the Lions are supposed to be bad. So I don't know, let's have a little fun with this right now. Let's do some predictions for the game. We haven't, dived deep into how, your feelings on the Lions this year, but maybe that'll come out in this. So I'll start us out. I think the Packers are going to totally lose this game.
Wow. Wow.
I'm a betting man. And I'm just trying to picture how many points that Packers can actually score here with their depleted, roster right now. And I'm gonna throw it out to be 17-28. The Packers lose to the Lions, and maybe by halftime I'm at the table alone by myself.
Phil, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, sure. So.
Lions are 7.5-point favorites. Over-under is 47.
Yes. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Is Jordan Love the guy?
Look at you.
That remains to be seen.
Okay.
Heavy.
Okay.
All we're looking for, no wins, no losses. Tay and I talked about this on the podcast last week. It really just comes down to a little bit of progress week to week from this point forward. Saw some really nice things against the Steelers, and obviously some nice things from Jordan last week against the Chargers. So we're seeing a little progression. I wouldn't say he's the guy yet, but you're looking for a guy to improve. I mean, I saw MVP, non-MVP mock-up with him and Jalen Hurts today. And you're looking at the exact same guy, essentially from yards on the season, touchdown passes and interceptions. You know, one's called an MVP candidate. One is not the guy, and that'd be Jordan Love. We'll see. I mean, Jordan has a lot to do when he seems to get his footwork right. It's getting better. He's got a long way to go. Is he the third coming? I wouldn't say that at this point. If they end up in the top five and draft a quarterback, I'm also not upset about it. So that's how I feel about it.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know. A jury's out. Yeah. Right now, he's doing some good things. He's moving in the right direction, but that's really all we can ask for, really. No one's ever that great at the beginning, so he could be the guy. He absolutely could, but we're not saying he's is because
yeah.
And it's too much pressure on him. There's enough going wrong with this team around him where it's not fair to blame it all one guy. He might be the guy. That's the question.
And they have the youngest offense in the NFL. So he's working with a lot of things that a lot of quarterbacks don't have to work with, and it's starting to come along. So I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'm going to keep watching for improvement.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is because I think Jared Goff is the guy, and I think that's the big difference between.
You didn't say that in the third quarter on Sunday. Oh my!
I think
goodness.
That's the big difference
you
between.
You wanted him cut at halftime, right, or after the third quarter? Was that where?
Yeah, we don't live in the past. I just think that he is the game director, right? He literally controls it. We live and die by him. He played very rough in the first 56 minutes of last week, but he showed what he could do when it mattered. I like Lions at home. I'm going to go like 42-21. I just think that it's going to be a shootout. I think Christian Watson is a very talented player. I think Jordan Love, no matter what he does with Green Bay, will be considered a misfit in that organization due to the controversy of him being drafted. You guys just spoke on it, but I think from an outside in, he's already treading uphill. You know what I mean? And how getting a piece would have been the difference between, I guess, you and six more Super Bowls to some fans. That was the thing that really pushed Rodgers over the edge. But I am a little concerned about the Lions' banged up secondary and defensive line. Healthy scratches and stuff like that sometimes worry me. But I do think the way that the team's been playing, it's hard to not believe that they would take care of business. I think Dan Campbell saw the zombie of last week, maybe thinking ahead even past the Packers. I think he'll do a better job getting the team better and well-prepared, and it will be more of a statement game for the Lions, hopefully.
How about you, Dave? How are you feeling when you come to Bright Red Thursday morning?
I'm going to predict 35-20. I think you pick who wins. No, 35-20 Lions. And I think it's going to be close through the first half and then, the middle of the third quarter, and then the Lions will probably just kind of grind them down a little bit. They're just going to – they've got injured guys coming back. The only guy that looks like he's going to be out again is Jonah Jackson, the lineman. But everybody else looks like they're going to be
– your guard. Yeah, Jonah. Yep.
Yeah. So, That's what I think is going to happen, but it's going to be a good close game.
Every game is good in the NFL until it's not.
Wow, so, hot take.
Well, I'm doing my best Tony Romo impersonation.
Man, yeah, that's true. Right at the beginning.
Yeah, so that's what makes I think us being fans fun. We love football. So,
100%, Phil. I'll say, unfortunately the way the injury list looks for the Packers, this is not good. I don't know if you guys know, by the time it was second half against the Chargers last week, we had one healthy running back, to play the second half. And neither of those guys, Aaron Jones and Emmanuel Wilson, are going to be available Thursday morning. So we brought back Patrick Taylor. We've got James Robinson back on the practice squad. He'll be elevated Thursday morning just so they have enough guys in the field. But that is the start of the injury list, which was 12 guys deep. It is not good. You have guys like our rookie tight end, Lucas Musgrave, played the second half, apparently ended up in the hospital afterwards. He's not going to be available. We know the young rookie tight end you guys took in Sam Laporta. What a great season he's having.
Yeah.
Obviously, you took Jahmyr Gibbs. Great young offense. You guys have a great offensive line. We know Amon-Ra's there. We took the wrong St. Brown back in the day. You know, it is what it is. But the Lions are coming in this game pretty healthy. It's not a good thing, guys, for us on a short week. Yeah, we got a W. So we had a victory Monday, which is really nice in Packer Nation. We'll take that. It's in the universe. It's not been a common thing this year. We're trying to get used to it again. We don't want to go back to the 80s, but we'll take our lumps for the time being. But, yeah, I think the Lions double the Packers here, 34-17. It's just too much. It's too short a time. The Lions, you know, coming off, I hope. Phil, were you at the game on Sunday?
I was not. I can't afford to go to games anymore. I could only afford them when we were paying $20 at the door. I can't do – I mean, they're going for 150 face for standing room only. And
that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's cheap to go on the road to see.
Yeah.
That's great, though. I mean, Lambeau got turned into Honolulu Blue, you know, in late September on a Thursday night. Another Thursday, but it'll be morning. You know, it's a weird thing. Again, you guys have this miraculous start since the early 60s. You started, what, 0-7 last year? You know, ever since that 0-7 start, I mean, we're talking, what, how many losses in that time?
I think they've only lost three or four since that game. Yeah.
So pretty amazing, guys.
Yeah.
There's no way the Packers with the injuries where they're at. I think the Packers will look a little bit better than they looked that first time around as far as what they could have done. But they'll still get beat pretty badly based on where they're at from an injury position. It's not going to be fun, but for you guys, it will be. You'll have a little Thanksgiving rivalry, and hey, you're going to get to what 9-2 on Thanksgiving.
9-2, holy smokes!
And you're going to be like, where are we living? Is this an alternate universe?
There it
as
is.
A Lions fan, as Packer fans, we're like, I guess again, we just ushered the other guy out. We'll deal with it for the short term.
So, Brent, did you give us your predictions yet?
34-17 Lions today. Yes,
and
I wanted, you know, I know we've been talking a lot about how this is kind of like we're kind of both in uncharted territory right now. We're kind of walking through a fog and lost. Is there any advice that you would like or questions that you want to ask us of what it's like to cheer for draft picks or you know, what are the silver linings you can get out of games? Any spin zones? Because, you know, I would love to know, you know, if there's any tips of what it's like to host a playoff game possibly or even be in the playoffs. You know, I've only seen two playoff games in my life.
Start drinking early or late?
Yeah, yes.
You, that?
You know, if that's something you guys want to put together later and get back to us, it's fair. You know,
guys,
I think
– Guys, it's Wisconsin. You drink early and late.
It doesn't early and late. It's, okay.
Yeah, it just Wisconsin. It just happens. Okay. You know, obviously, yeah, Dave, you grew up in the UK, but – you know, yeah, Wisconsin, you're just – what is the drunkest state in the nation? So there's no way around
it. There you go.
But we're not used to asking our team to tank, but is that ever – like what point in the season do you guys say, let's tank? Let's tank.
Usually it's the end of September.
Yeah, like week one. Yeah, more
week one.
Yeah, week one or maybe preseason game three because your quarterback's a China doll, so he breaks his collarbone.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
First we get mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Okay.
No 0-4 team has ever made the playoffs. Okay, it's over.
Yeah, we were never on like on the hunt was like something that you'd look for.
No,
we were never on it, but like the years that playoffs, we were, it was like, ooh, you know, but we were still at the bottom of in the hunt. That's something to always look forward
last
to.
Last year, we were losing record in the hunt when it was two years ago, right? They were like 3-10 or something. Like, everything goes right. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But you guys, you had, hey, we can maybe get in the playoffs last week of the season, or you can just kick Green Bay's ass.
It was like making the playoffs.
And guess what you did? Lions kicked Green Bay's ass.
We were, you know, it was like
Aaron Rodgers couldn't ball up. He had to go. I got to think about it. I got to go into the dark retreat.
Dark retreat.
I got to shirk from everything because it was too much for me. And that last weekend, I got to walk away with my boy Randall Cobb crying because he couldn't ball up and beat the Lions last week of the season to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, that maybe was maybe that was really the changing of the page. That's the passing of the torch was kind of like, hey, it's different these days, because I think any other time of the year, that last week, we would get like, who was the quarterback? Matt Flynn that got the big Matt contract? Flynn.
Yeah, you guys have like a 15-1 record. Or
yeah, and Matt Flynn.
Everything's
six touchdowns he had against the Lions.
Yeah, so we're going to play Matt Flynn and make him look like the second coming of Bart Starr. And he signs a gazillion-dollar contract and goes, oh, I'll see you later, and then never throws another touchdown.
Yeah, it's just
– Welcome, good Matt Flynn. Though. Thank you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's – there's two things that I'd want to be: a career backup or a college football coach that gets fired a year into his 10-year, $200 million contract.
Yeah, that's always
those are good ones.
That's the guy down in A&M right now. What's
his maybe not a coach. I'll do it.
No kidding.
Hey, Phil, you brought up Goff a couple times, but let me just ask you quick here. And you too, Dave. How'd you feel when that trade went down and you got Goff and Stafford went? Like was that like, oh, we're screwed? Was that good?
I was like, he's never going to win anything. Another one of my brilliant calls.
Did you guys cheer? Did you guys cheer the Super Bowl win?
No, hell no. We are not a Detroit. We are not the Detroit Rams. Listen, last time I checked, the NFL is a business. When you separate from a company, you're on to your next one. I'm in the same boat with my old man here. I have a best friend who is a diehard Lions fan who called me crying. His nephew's first name is Stafford. Like, their family loves
me. That did me, Mel.
We're not the Detroit Staffords, and we're not the Green Bay Rodgers.
What I'm saying. So, again, as soon as he, I couldn't have been more excited. But I'm also like one of the biggest Goff haters of all time, too. So, like, I was very critical.
I was thrilled with what we got draft picks wise, and when he won the Super Bowl, that was great. He watched the lady fall off a stage and didn't do anything to help her. I mean, that just proved
his wife is such a menace. Kelly Stafford throwing pretzels at people.
He's funny.
The Staffords had to get out of Detroit ASAP. So,
don't feel sorry for a guy making a gazillion.
Well, how about Goff this year? Obviously, last year ended the season really well. He's already thrown as many picks, more picks this year than he did all of last year. So, how are you feeling about Jared right now at the very moment?
At the moment, he's not playing, so I'm very happy. And once the game starts, then I might feel different. Phillips goes hot and cold by quarters.
By the second, really.
He was really ready to just run him out of time. Oh, Goff, he's off.
Here's my thoughts about Goff. And I don't like California. Cali teens kind of scare me, you know. They're like 12 years old selling weed and stuff, like just tough. They got blonde hair. They surf. They're just cooler than us. Jared Goff, he couldn't come and play in a cold weather. You know, I was like, I think about the Super Bowl when they couldn't score points and they were scoring points all year. And you saw it that first year. He just didn't seem any confidence. And then Brad Holmes went and got Josh Reynolds, who used to play with Jared, and like, I don't know what it was. Maybe they went to dinner, but his confidence since that signing, he's been a complete, if I could actually work a statistic, it'd be pretty wild to see what his difference was since Josh Reynolds joined the team.
That was the beginning of things turning around.
It was like week 8 or 9 of that first season.
Josh Reynolds was cut by the Rams, right? Wasn't it?
Yep, and he would play for the Rams.
Grabbed him off wafers.
Yep.
And it was like, all of a sudden, that's all he did was stare at him and throw him the ball.
Yeah.
He was like, that's my boy.
He just needed that confidence. But like we've said, and I think it's very obvious this year how crucial a backup quarterback is, i.e. the Browns, who had Dobbs. Yeah. If Goff goes down, I don't think the team – I mean, could we maybe win a playoff game with Teddy Two Gloves? He's better than – I'm saying he's better than would they have Blau and Tim Boyle, who Tim Boyle's getting the start in New Jersey this week for the Jets.
Yep. Tim Boyle couldn't find the –
Only created for Aaron Rodgers, and then yep. they don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Tim Boyle yeah. couldn't find the center when he played with Detroit. I swear. He started yeah, two games and yeah. lost them both in horrific manner. I mean, yeah. he was not good.
Yeah, so as long as Jared stays healthy, I think the team's ceiling is
the hopefully NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I hope it's an NFC Championship game. But my expectations as a Lions fan in my floor is, I mean, there's days when I have to ask people if we're even good. Like, are these real? I think yeah. about the Vikings last year and that those the way that they won games. Luckily, it's not like that for the Lions. They're actually playing pretty well, and when they – lose, they lose, but it's just all right. Think about Peyton Manning when he was with the Colts. They'd go like 13-3 and then they'd lose in the first round because they couldn't get the bye at the time, you know? So it makes me nervous. But yeah, I like what Jared does, and I think he's fully like the team is just so bought in. It's hard to not love a guy like that. I was big on getting anybody but Jared. I've wanted a lot of different quarterbacks, but he's just gritty, and that's what Detroit is.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Seemed that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you guys have a different culture now with Dan at the helm, and they've all pretty much bought into that, and I'm sure you guys are absolutely loving that, although it seems like you guys are from time to time pinching yourself to make sure that you're not dreaming, but it sounds like you guys are having a good time with this, although maybe apprehensive sometimes.
I love our GM is what I
Yeah.
love.
Okay.
I think our GM is the MVP, hands down. And then we get another draft. I mean, I know there's the chances of the Lions being 8-2 again next year are you know, it's the NFL. Anything can happen.
But, anomaly.
Okay.
It's an anomaly for me. I'm the Lions.
But,
yeah.
You know,
it could become a, you know, annual, you know, every season right. Yeah, that was
he is really
30 years in Green Bay here, guys. I mean, you don't know, like, It's been painful for you guys. I understand it, but you can be on to something different.
This is not a fluke. I don't think it's a fluke. I think the GM is going to keep this going.
Yeah, I think that's where like us kind of going through and seeing what we'll always have this stuff to go back to, but I will find it so interesting is what Brad Holmes and what Chris Spielman are doing. I know we've talked a lot about Chris, but I think Chris Spielman's is such the epitome of a football guy, and he just gets it. The way he talked to Jack Campbell in that ride that they did a really goofy video about, but you can just tell that the players look at the coaches and they just believe. It sounds so corny. And it's, but it's not. I don't know. Ted Lasso is such a great show. It's the slogans just believe. And it's like, once the team really starts buying in, I think about that game. Like, there's no way the past 31 years of my life, the Lions don't win the game last weekend. Mm-hmm. Going into that game, teams are 0-85 on the season in that situation. There's things that are going on this year, and we talk about it a lot during the games of, this looks like I'm watching the Lions. Like, I'm watching the Lions on the other side of the ball.
Right. Like the Bears were what the Lions would do.
Yeah. You're like the ghost came back down to earth, and you're like, what am I watching here? But that said, if you were at Ford Field last week, both of you, you wouldn't have booed, right?
I don't boo, personally.
I booed. In the past,
I mean, but in this season, obviously they're 7-2, they're down against the Bears. Yeah, you know, I understand what the Bears are, but they're down against the Bears. There's not a lot of time left in the fourth quarter, but
man,
the Lions fans having a great season, they're booing.
They were embarrassing.
What's going on?
They were embarrassing, is what it was. That's why people were booing, and that is kind of like the default. The default Lions fans is to boo, you know. So
yeah, I mean, I
it was just they were bad. They stunk it up, and they deserved to hear that the fans were not happy with them stinking it up.
I mean, we've seen great franchises. I've heard Chiefs fans boo. I think we've all heard boos before. I think, like you were saying, it's the we're not good enough where. Expectation will exceed appreciation. Dabo Sweeney had a big rant about this, and I'm not the biggest Dabo guy, but my dad sent me this clip of this rant he had. And
did you hear that? Dabo Sweeney with the caller that called in and basically ripped into him about Clemson and Dabo. Yeah. Look it up. It's really
It's
I've heard the whole piece.
Yeah. It's
I don't blame him.
Like don't forget about where we've been recently.
What we were before I came here. So exactly.
Yeah. So that's to me is where it's like we're not at that level yet as an organization where we should be booing, period. But I think the team hasn't ever felt this way, maybe two or three times in the past 30 seasons, where it's like, holy smokes, we're not the butt of the joke anymore. So the embarrassment obviously was it, but our fans are passionate. We were on Twitter for the first week and people were calling for our fan cards. You know, my dad was
fine. I looked through my wallet.
My dad was fighting the number one super fan of the team. What? And like, you know, we couldn't.
Don't do that. No,
yeah, well, we didn't even try. Super
fans, I learned yeah, that.
Yeah, we tried not to, but that just shows found you. Just how quickly this fan base is very defensive of itself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's weird.
My attitude on booing is you pay your money for your ticket. And if you want to boo, go right ahead.
I don't disagree. You do have that right. You know, you were saying, though, you know, there have been jokes. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won the division, you know, more recently than Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And here we go. But coming into next year, I mean, Ben Johnson, he's probably gone, guys.
Probably.
He's got to be the number one head coaching candidate in all the NFL, would be my guess, for any team.
Probably. You know,
if he doesn't leave, he's going to get paid again. There's no chance. Year,
but he ain't head coach paid.
I think he took this year and said, let's do it another time. But I think he's out, guys. He's going to get an offer. So how are you feeling about the Ben Johnson piece?
I'm, you know, success. That's what happens. Look what happened with the Patriots. Jeez. Their coaches left. They got hired somewhere else. They failed. They came back. You know, I don't know if Ben Johnson's going to succeed. A coordinator is much different than being a head coach. You are a CEO. You have to deal with the media. You're really like a Tom Landry kind of guy that you are. You know, you deal with the top stuff. Coordinator, you just worry about your side of the ball and all that stuff. And no, he's probably gone. And you know, then it's going to have to be the next coach, or maybe they bring somebody in. I don't know. I would hope that doesn't cause it all to fall apart. But you know, it's a fact of life that he's going to go. That's all there is.
Yeah, he definitely could. And you know, we could see you guys next year, and you guys are cracking jokes, and we're back to being the same old Lions. You know, you know, I think that's what makes being a fan fun, though. Like, again, going into the season, was there high expectation? Sure. And it all really sat on that first game of the season. If they come out there and they win like they did,
beat the Chiefs.
Really ready to get 35-7.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were going to get opening slapped. Night.
I really thought we were going to get pumped. I really did.
And so
Kelsey helped. And
I had faith for you guys, and I'm a Packer fan.
I mean, I would hope, you know, to go back to the coordinator aspect of Ben Johnson leaving. God, I hope somebody's been learning from him over the past 2 years. You would hope that someone's taking notes at the least.
Get their playbook before he leaves. Is that what you're
all saying? I know, as long as Dan Campbell doesn't go back to play calling, I think we'll be okay. So
right,
we've got some brain drain in Green Bay, I'll put it that way, over the last 3 years.
Whether that's an excuse or not, it's probably not, but we've experienced it. And
every team does. If you succeed, they go. That's all there is to it. I'd rather have that problem than suck and have them get fired. You know, we went through a number of those guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's wind her down here, guys. Do you have any questions left for us, Philip?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
Oh, my, of course he does.
So we've gotten out two here. Speaking on coaches and stuff, Matt LaFleur, is his seat warm? Is it normal? Is it getting hot? I'm just curious how you guys feel about Mr. Offensive Guru, Mr. Matt LaFleur.
Did he graduate high school yet?
Maybe. He's going to college now, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah. Him and what's his name? Down in Miami.
Miami. Yeah, they both play high schoolers.
McDaniel.
Yeah, that's it.
We don't know what to think about LaFleur. MLF is it was great in those first three seasons with Aaron here. Now it's totally different. So we're not certain how to feel about this. Is it the team? Is it the players? Is it the brain drain of the other coaches that have left? We're left kind of wondering that ourselves. But I think Matt is a great coach when he has a lot of other great coaches around him, and I think those people have left, and so now we're seeing the issues kind of come to the surface here. And then couple that with the youngest team in the NFL, a brand new quarterback who's been there for 3 years but his first starting role, you got some youth everywhere across the board, and I think this is exactly what we get with this is what we've seen here. So I think he's a good coach. I just think he needs other pieces and parts around him to make him that.
So what about we'll you, Rick? Go like lukewarm, maybe.
Yeah. Definitely. There's no way the Packers are so conservative that they're not going to fire this guy this year or next year. He's not going anywhere. He's here to stay for a little while. Yeah. It would have to be, you know, this like a plane crash, train wreck, anything with this team at the end of the season here to do that. It's not going to happen in Green Bay. They're super conservative. He's like, I think his contract is into a year from now or 2 years from now. So he's not going anywhere. And I totally believe that.
Okay. Matt LaFleur has a lot of good, look good game, guys. He's got good eyebrow game. He's got his fade tight. You know, as far as the last couple of weeks of play calling has been better, Matt LaFleur can be a decent offensive mind in the NFL. Comes from a good tree, as we know. He's a little too type A, as he's lost guys through the brain drain with Nathaniel Hackett and other guys throughout the course of the years, that he takes too much upon himself, and he doesn't know how to parse that out, which I think is not necessarily the best part about a leader. Like, you got to learn how to delegate, and Matt has had some big trouble learning how to do that. We talked about with a friend of ours on the podcast, our Packers beat writer here in Green Bay recently, the issue with the Matt LaFleur thing, with the GM thing, with Brian Gutekunst and everybody involved is we have this weird ownership structure. As you know, it's not an ownership. It's a board.
Right.
And the president of our football team has to age out at age 70 and a half. So Mark Murphy has to leave in July of 2025. His magnus opus is getting the draft in April of 25, which he'll have. And then we'll have a new president. But when Mark came in, he wanted to remove the silos of Taya and I have talked about many times on the podcast, from why is there a division between GM, president, and head coach? There needs to be better communication. Well, now Mark has taken upon himself to be the de facto owner. I call him the meddler. And Mark the meddler has decided that he makes the call on who the GM, the head coach is. So we'll see as that transitions out. There's no way they're going to fire Matt LaFleur this year, because it would be a very bad thing to do to the next coming president in 2025. Basically, you'd have a new GM and or a new head coach for 1 year, and then you have the new regime coming in.
Right.
You decide, are these the right people? So we're going to see a lot of the same next year in the 2024 season, and we'll see where they go from there.
And then just one last question here. Yeah, I know, but okay, this is good content. These are good questions. Yeah. These are good questions. Yes, this is a good question.
You're going to work on your –
Can I ask this question? Let me ask it first. Yeah, thank you.
Enjoyable. It's good.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ren, Tay. We talked about some things that, you brought up the booing, and at the beginning you talked about – Lambo turning Honolulu blue. I just want to make sure I fully understand the ticketing system of Lambo. And it seems this year like teams are traveling a lot better to Lambo. And I just want to make sure I understand this. There's a waiting list that certain games during the season that the waitlisted people who want to get season tickets get opportunities to buy tickets to games, but then all those people end up just being scalpers and sell the tickets anyways. Is that true? Is that what's happening during these games that we've just seen such a big turnout, or is that not true?
Not true.
Okay. I just
Tay, do you want me to take this one?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
You're a season. Right. Okay. I guess I should have started with that, but that's something I read this
past. So, number one, if you want to be a season ticket holder, we have this weird thing. We have the green package and we have the gold package. So the green package are people from Green Bay. The gold package is when the Packers sucked in the 70s and 80s, they played two games down in Milwaukee every year.
Right.
Well, eventually in the early 90s, Bob Harlan said, enough of that. We need to have all these games in Green Bay. But they still allowed the people who paid for the games down in Milwaukee to have two of those eight games.
Okay.
So you have two different sets of season ticket holders, one with six, one with two, the Milwaukee ticket holders. What happens, though, is, yes, to get on generally the green package, the Green Bay list, you're going to wait probably 35 years. If you want to say, hey, I only want two, and you want to get in the gold list, you might wait 15 to 20 years. But what happens is a lot of the old season tickets in Green Bay, especially with the Green Bay ticket holders, are held by a lot of families, and they just get trusted. They get trusted down to families, and they just sell them. They're living in Arizona. They're in Florida. Okay. They're not there anymore.
Yeah.
So these tickets, they're not available for general sale. They all go to these secondary websites, and that's where people are buying the tickets. The tickets are sold out, but
from
a secondary sales website based on that transactional piece. So unfortunately, yes, a lot of Green Bay ticket holders sell their tickets to Lions fans, this case, early or late September here in 2023.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I just heard that they're cracking down on those like generational people that are out of town, and you know, grandpa had them, dad had them, I've had them, and they're I heard they were cracking down on those people.
Not at all. Unless the fans in the seats cause disturbances, they can be warned a few times, so they can get a couple of those. But there are certain ticket brokers, especially at the NFL.com, if you want to sell them directly to them, that you get seat protection based on that. So really, they have an out. They're never going to lose their tickets. They'll just continue to sell them and hang on to them, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. We have came and visited.
It's a great question.
Yeah, I just noticed. I just noticed in the Chargers game too, like a lot of big Chargers super fans traveled and stuff. And I know they travel, but like, for me, Lambeau was kind of like, you know, the frozen tundra, you know, is this place. It meant a lot when we went. I have a lot of memories from that. And I just, you know, I didn't know if it was the trend of the team, you know, but it seems just, it's very interesting to do the gold and green package.
Yeah. Interesting. And like, and those gold packages are for Milwaukee ticket holders or for Milwaukee ticket holders. And those, if you had a tendency or a trend, they tend to sell those more often than the green package because they're down in Milwaukee. Something happens where they can't come up and you end up selling more of those to other people. Boom, there you go. We've seen ticket prices drop this year, of course, because of our play. That's happening too. So yeah, it's a kind of like a two-headed monster here with that. But great question.
Thanks. That's all.
Okay, Thank you, Phil. Come on, man. No. I'm never going to hear the end of this.
Oh, they both told me you had a great question.
I have no questions.
Well, before we go, tell us where people can find you, website, YouTube channel. Like, where are you guys at?
Yeah, sure. So you can find us at the Line in the Cup podcast.com, our X, formerly known as Twitter. It's my favorite thing in articles these days. It's like, we all know what it is. You don't have to tell us what it was formerly known as, but that's our ongoing joke. At Lion Cup Podcast. Those are our two really big main places. We do have an Instagram. It's all the same. Everything YouTube, is at Lion.
Facebook.
Yep. It's all the same at Lion Cup Podcast. Our live shows are usually 25 minutes before kickoff on Facebook and YouTube live. Everything's posted on our Twitter.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. How about you, Dave? We haven't heard enough from you, Dave. I'd like you to give us a good long Dave rant on the way out and where what you're up to and what you're looking forward to the rest of this Lions season. Because let's be honest, Dave, this may be, and you've been struggling a long time. I know this.
Struggling.
They may struggling.
Yes, I could care less if it's the same as struggling.
The Lions really in the driver's seat for the number one seed in the NFC this year. So lead us out with whatever your feels are on with that and everything else, Dave.
Full-time officials. Time will tell on the Lions. It's all down to injuries. I know that's a cop out. I'm excited. I'm also realistic. I was thinking while we were talking that, you know, decades of just embarrassing losses has really damaged my fandom. I'll be honest. When I was Phillip's age, I lived and died with the team. I lived in, when they went to the NFC Championship in 90, well, it was in the winter of 92, and went to a Washington, and they got, oh, they got annihilated.
Yeah, and like you said, 41-10, something like that?
Something like, thanks. And thank you for that. You know, I those kind of losses, really, after a while, it was just like, so, you know, the running joke was, I used to go to all the games. Anytime the Lions got a first down, I'd yell at the top of my lungs, Super Bowl, because we knew that that was never going to happen. And now it's like, it could happen. They have certainly have a realistic chance as much as a bunch of teams right now. They are certainly in the conversation. We'll see how it goes the rest in, you know, injuries. If the quarterback stays healthy, anything can happen. They're getting guys back, and Jameson Williams, is that his last name, Phil?
Yep. J-Mo.
You got it.
J-Mo. He's going to drop, you know.
Mr. Gambler, yep.
Yeah, he's going to drop a few. It's expected. He's going to drop some.
Our parlay king.
He, you know, he's starting to play and good things are happening. I don't know. You just got to – and then if you do get there, you still got to get lucky. It's really hard to get to the Super Bowl. It's really hard. I went to one Super
Bowl. We know.
Yeah, I went to the Lions Cow. I'm lying. Hello, I went to the Steelers Cowboy Super Bowl in '95 in Arizona, and
Dave, did you root for the Cowboys a little bit?
No, I didn't, and I hate the Steelers too. Okay, I went with a friend. I didn't want to go. I was kind of happy the Steelers won, and that's my mom's team.
There you go.
But
shout out, Mom.
Shout out, Mom. So I don't know. I'm, what's the word I'm looking for? Quietly confident, hesitant.
Hesitantly optimistic.
I am hesitantly optimistic. Looks like they're going to win the division quite easily, which is in itself pretty amazing. So, but like, you know, you never know when the wheels are going to come off. You really don't. In the NFL, one loss leads to two losses. Trust me, I know.
Well, here in Packer Universe, there are a lot of fans that are secretly rooting for you when the Packers aren't able to win. So you've got some, you know, ghost fans for the time being.
Yeah, of course. This is a mutual handshake.
Yeah, we're all, you know,
this is like a 1 year thing.
You're not ready to hand the torch to us and let us run with it for 25 years?
No, I'm just saying, feeling good about you. Like, we actually kind of like you right now.
Yeah. Win too much, we're gonna get real pissy.
They're like our cousin over there. We feel
that was okay, that was like them. that was like Matthew Stafford, you know, goes to the Rams, and we're like, oh, hey, you know, Matthew, hey, good for him. We, you know, that's good. You want to play good? Best of luck. Oh, okay. Oh, well, don't win too much.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. Yeah, we, the Super Bowl, it was like, oh, well, damn it. Don't win the Super Bowl there. Right. That was, you know, that proves all of our complaining for 15 years wrong. You know, it's, oh, we can't win with Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. So, yep. You know, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. We'll try to keep it on the low down, low key. Okay.
Oh, well, gentlemen, we really appreciate you coming on our show. The Lions are not an afterthought after all.
No.
You guys proved that. So, yeah, we appreciate you coming on. Best of luck to you this Thursday. We all know what's going to happen. So, you know, no surprises.
Won't even play the game. I say, if we all know what's going to happen, let's save our bodies. Just put the score up, and that's eat double loads of turkey. Okay,
yep. Phil, just make sure you got your blood pressure medicine. It seems like you've been through a lot over the years. I mean, you just gotta just enjoy the ride, Dave. I should say, enjoy the ride, Dave. Enjoy the ride. I think you're gonna have a good ride. Let your son take you through that nice ride.
We win a home playoff game. That's it, man. You're going to find me in the gutter with a bottle sticking out of my mouth.
All right. I like it. All right. Yeah. There you go, Dave.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime, please let us know.
Yeah. We'll do this again. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Dave. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, guys.
Give thanks to both of you for having me on. Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to your family. Yeah.
Thanks again. And, hello to Green Bay.
Yeah, good morning, Green Bay.
Good night, as Mike McCarthy would say, Detroit.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.
Yeah, take care.
Bye, Phil.
Good night.
Take care.
Appreciate you. Later, guys. Bye, guys.